So, Book of James, chapter 1. So, this is the last Wednesday night of 2018. How many of you can say 2018 went really slow? Do you think it went slow, Bob? I don't. I think it went... It was quick. All right, so what I want you to do is take a minute while I'm talking. Think about the past year so far. What all you've done, what all you've accomplished. And then the main thing, what have you done for the Lord in the past 2018?
The last 28 days.
2018, the last year. It won't be over till what? Monday. But nonetheless, take the what time we are right now, back up till 2017, and what have you done for the Lord that if you passed on tonight, you get there, what's he going to say? They're going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or is he going to say, well, you have been slothful? Or is he going to say, well, you know, you done fair, but you could have done a little more here and a little more there. That's what you got to ask yourself. Now, let's read this one verse, chapter 1 of James, verse 22. How many of you had already figured out this probably where I was going to go? One person. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, be ye doers of the word. What does it mean to be ye a doer of the word? Action. You got to put it into action. Because he says if we don't, then we're only deceiving ourselves. If I hear it, that's a good thing. If I study it, that's a good thing. But if I don't put it into action, what good is it doing me? I'm going to take one thing just to start. Prayers. We're going to have special prayer here in a few minutes. But prayers. Let's look at prayers, for instance. Let me tell you something I heard. There's a lady that lives next door to a house of ill repute. Hopefully you know what a house of ill repute is. We have several around here. And for years, she'd watched men and women go in and out of this house. And they're just going in there, and you know what's happening there, and the alcohol flowing there, and the drug problems that it brings. So she started praying, we need to burn this place down, Lord. We need to get rid of it. She prayed for years and years. She had a maid that worked for her. And this maid come in one day and she said, listen, she said, you're a spiritual woman, a religious woman. She said, you've noticed the house of ill repute? She said, let's pray about this. She said, let's pray the Lord would close the doors on that thing. Matter of fact, let's just pray together. The Lord just burn it down. And she said, okay, I'll pray with you. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. The woman got done and they went on. She'd done her stuff that she's hired to do and she went on about her business and went home. Next morning, woman knocks on the door and the lady lets her in. She's back to do her other chores and she goes, I smell smoke. She looks over there and the building is burned slap down to the ground, nothing but ashes smoldering. And she says, I don't get it. She said, I have prayed for years. The Lord ain't done a thing. She said, you come along, I asked you to pray with me. She said, and it burned down. She said, I don't get it. What did we do different? She says, come here. She took her out back and she opened the door and there stood a can of gasoline and matches. She said, we took care of it. So the story here is, when it comes to be ye doers of the word, we can be prayers. We can send our prayers up. We can pray and pray and pray. But if we don't put legs on our prayers, what good are they? We can pray for a homeless guy to have a cheeseburger. But if you don't go buy it for him, he ain't going to get it. We can pray all day long. Well, the piano needed tuning. Let's pray about it. But until somebody called the guy and he come out and tuned it, it didn't get tuned. When we pray about things, if it's something we can do, then we ought to step forth and do it. Not only should we be praying about what needs to be done in someone's life or the church, whatever it may be, but we should be praying that the Lord will use me or you or someone to take care of this matter. It's got to be done. That. So the starting of the new year, we can pray that we fill up wagon wheel. What's that going to take? Oh, well, that's what the pastor's for. That's what the deacons and the pastor's for. That's, Jose, me and you and Kevin and John, we got to fill the church up. No. It's going to take everybody that is a member of Wagon Wheel inviting someone to church. And if you have to make the agreement with that person, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you out to, we have a Texas Roadhouse now. I'll take you out to Texas Roadhouse and you go to church with me. If that person came to church and they or their spouse or one of their children got saved, would the $100 it's going to cost you to feed them be worth it? Sure it would. You see, the way we're going to fill up wagon wheel, one, is prayer. Two, putting some feet on the prayers. Now, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Who can tell me in a nutshell what Matthew 28 says without looking? 18 through 20. So basically what we're supposed to be doing, you heard that we. Let me look. Hang on. All right. We, there ain't no frogs in here. We, as a whole, as the church that God put in Henderson, Nevada, we as a whole are supposed to be out telling others the gospel. Hopefully they would get saved. then inviting them to church, hopefully they would come in, want to be baptized. I'll just go ahead and tell you. If a person truly gets saved, honestly, and I don't know of any other way to look at it because I go on what the Bible tells me, but honestly, when a person got saved in the Bible, they got baptized. Read it in Acts. There's no place in Acts that somebody got saved. They trusted the Lord Jesus and said, well, now I'm going to think on this baptism thing. You won't find it. And if you do, let me know. I can't find it. When a person gets saved, when they truly get the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, guess what happens? They want to follow what he did. He got baptized. Number two, they want to start learning more about the one who died for their sins, which is all in the Word of God. And where do you do that at? The best place to learn about it is in church. In discipleship classes, in Sunday school. This silly button won't stay button. So it boils down. It's just the sheer strength here. That's what popping her open. I'll be turning green in a minute. But really and truly, that's what we're supposed to be doing, is telling others about Jesus. Well, I just can't talk to people. Okay, I'm going to hand that to you. I know some people that would be better off not to talk to people. I'm serious. Bless their heart, they mean well, but they'd be better off if they just done that, you know, throw the key away. And we have what we call gospel tracts. Don't say we ain't got any, because I've got about 10,000 in that room. We need to leave them places. We need to hand them to people. Amen. Say, hey, you get an opportunity, read this. Amen. Well, I've read them before. Yeah, but you ain't read this one. It may be the day. It's got our address on it. Hopefully, if they get saved, they'll say, you know, I better call these people. That's what we're to be doing, because if all we're doing is hearing and studying, but we're not putting it to action, we're not putting legs on it, we're wasting our time. As I knew a guy one time years ago, unreal singer, could sing really well, great musician. But he never would go out and let anybody hear him. He never went nowhere. and he never will go anywhere. Because nobody knew him, nobody had heard of him, they never heard him play. That's the way we do it, is we go out and we are doers of the word, not just hearing about it. We need to go out here and say, hey, people, I know of a good restaurant where you can get fed. I tell everybody, I go find some place and I eat at it. I let everybody know, hey, man, you need to come eat here. This is good. It's the same way with church. We ought to be happy enough with our church and thrilled enough with our church that, and want to see the church fill up, that we tell others where we're going and say, why don't you come? Amen. Well, I've done that before. Well, do it again. I've asked my neighbor probably, I couldn't tell you how many times since I've known him. And, you know, I'll come, but he never does. One day, maybe he will. I don't know. But the point is I've asked. We need to do that. We got to be doers and not just hearers, because if we're just hearers, it says we're deceiving ourselves. The worst thing in the world you can do is deceive yourself. You know, I've been waiting for my truck to tear up now for 2 years. And there was a couple of days I thought, maybe it's just me. I hear something and maybe I'll just ignore it. But since it started running the way it's running, or the way it was running, I haven't really took it on a long distance drive because I'm not an idiot. Because if it'll break down, trust me, it'll do it out in the middle of nowhere, Utah. You know, or out there in the middle between here and Kingman on one of them 118-hour days. The only reason I drove it to camp is because I had a lot of backup. If it broke, somebody will tell me. I got friends out there. I wasn't deceived. I knew eventually it was going to die. And by the way, it did. It sounds good now when you crank it. It goes, and it's blue smoke comes out the hind end. It's like, no, this is not good. It's got a problem. Now, I could say, well, it'll be all right and drive to L.A. That's called deceiving myself. That's the same thing with God's word. We deceive ourselves when we say, well, Brother Jim, we do it all. I mean, I study every morning and I pray every morning and I'm at church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But how many people do you witness to? How many people do you hand a tract to? How many people do you invite to church? That's being doers of the word. How many people, when they show up, you ever had, well, no, we don't have that here. Folk that come to church that irritate the rest of us. And I know we don't have any of that problem, but if it happens, how many times do you look at them and say, good grief, again? Or do you look at them and say, praise the Lord, I hope they get it today. That's what we ought to be saying. Yes, it's irritating, but we ought to be saying, well, praise the Lord, they're here. That's good. I know it's because we got roast ham and turkey, but hey, at least they're here. I mean, seriously, we've got to look at it that way because that's the same way Christ looked at you. When's she going to get it? Oh, here, let's offer it again. That didn't happen. And Gabriel's probably up there. Why are you wasting your time? Because it just needs a little more watering. Aren't you glad the Lord was long-suffering? I am. I'm glad he was with me. So whenever we are out there and we're serving the Lord, even though they don't listen to you, even though they might get angry with you, one of these days they may look at you and say, I appreciate very much what you told me one time, because it didn't dawn on me till about 5 years ago when the doctor said you got 2 months left. It happens. And now she's upset. That's all right. She can be. So really, that's the way it works. One of these days, we will face Jesus and he will say, well done. Or he may say slothful. And it doesn't say this part in the Bible, but I kind of throw it in. He might say, well, you were in going in the right direction and working hard at it. You know, just a little bit slack here, a little bit. I don't know whether he'll look at that way or not. But nonetheless, we need to be trying and we need to be doing what the Lord says to do. Not just hearing it. Not just satisfied with the fact we come to church and we read the Word of God. And when we have prayer, not just satisfied with the fact, well, I prayed about it. I hope somebody helps them. Well, if you're in that shape that you can help them, maybe that somebody ought to be you. Maybe you say, you know, Lord, I really can't help, but you can open the door for anything. He might use you anyway. Let's close.